I'll be reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 6. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay a hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained.
I suppose that most of us have some goals that we have set for ourselves. I'm sure that many of us have goals for our business, for our sports team, our family, the church. And I think setting goals is important in life. So do you have a goal or goals, and are they appropriate ones? Are the means that you are using to reach your goals honest ones? Well, Paul in the text that Harrison just read said that he was pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul was keeping his eye on the prize. And this morning, I want to suggest that we press on to some goals that are appropriate ones, goals that are centered on the Word of God. Now, these are goals that we will continue to press toward for the rest of our lives. Number one, press on to the goal of living a Christ-like life. Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." So Paul is reminding the Colossian brethren, as well as us, that we have to keep seeking the things above. We have to continually set our minds on things above, not just on things of the earth. As we think about the goal of living a Christ-like life, consider the price that was paid. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Bought with a price. The precious and powerful blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are to glorify God in our bodies. Of course, Paul will later write that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it all to the glory of God. But also consider the steps that were left. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps." That's what Jesus instructed His early followers, to follow Me. We are called upon to follow in His steps. Where do the steps of Jesus lead us? I believe they will lead us to the house of worship. I believe they will lead us into the fields of service. I believe they will lead us into the company of the committed. They will lead us into the sanctuary of sacrifice. And I believe the steps of Jesus will lead us into the avenue of a positive attitude. And then consider the mind that is to be imitated. Philippians 2 and verse 5 begins what some scholars identify as the Pauline hymn, a hymn to Christ. But Paul says, have this attitude, have this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can you think of a more challenging statement? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Number two, we need to press on to the goal of living by faith and not by sight. That's what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, faith is defined for us in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things, ground of things that we hope for. It is that conviction of things that we may not be able to see. And then faith is demonstrated in Hebrews 11, verse 6, and then throughout the rest of the chapter. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. An important principle emerges in Hebrews 11, and I would simply say it is faith saves when faith obeys. As you read through the chapter, you see this principle illustrated over and over again. Faith saves when faith obeys. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, he did something. By faith, Abraham, when called, went out. The text says that he went out not knowing where he was going. And that is certainly an illustration of that we walk by faith and not by sight. So faith saves when faith obeys. Are you walking by faith? Is it an obedient faith? God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to do it. Do we need to pray, Lord, increase our faith? That's certainly what Jesus' disciples had asked Him to do. Lord, increase our faith. So we live by faith and not by sight. But number three, we need to press on to the goal of being a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Well, God's word is, of course, a precious gift. It is enduring. It will outlast everything. God's word provides insight. It provides direction for our lives. It is this word that gives us hope. And the passage that I read from James compared God's word to a mirror. Mirrors show needed change, and they help us to see ourselves clearly. We don't always like what we see, but that's what mirrors do. And a person looks in the mirror to do something, not just to admire the image. And even so, a Christian looks into God's Word to do something about it, not just to store up facts that will not be used. So the challenge to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. And then we need to press on to the goal of being committed to the church for which Christ died. Acts chapter 20 and verses 28, this is part of Paul's address to the Ephesian elders when he met them at the little seaport town of Miletus. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. In Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. In Colossians 1, he is also head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. I believe that's another very challenging line from the Apostle Paul. So that he himself will come to have first place in how many things? Everything. Paul reminded the Ephesian elders that the church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the apostle began his series of those seven ones with the affirmation that there is one body or one church. And Paul reminded us that Christ is the head of the body, the church. And that again, he is to have first place. He is to have preeminence in everything that we set out to do. And we must continue our commitment to the organization of the church, to its worship, to its terms of membership. I think all of that is involved as we make our commitment to the church for which Jesus himself gave his very life. Well, I've shared with you four goals that I think we as Christians need to continually pursue. Living a Christ-like life. Doing our best to follow daily in his steps. Living by faith and not by sight. Where do you need to step out in faith? Is there a comfort zone that you are kind of in that you need to say, God, help me to step out in faith? Because as we looked at these particular passages, they are encouraging us to walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is something that we put into obedience, and we saw that clearly from Hebrews chapter 11. I want to encourage us all to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Because that word is like a mirror. Because in a sense, this word reads us. We may read the word, but it also reads us. It shows us who we really are. And he's encouraging us to not only be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. And that's kind of parallel to that faith saves when faith obeys. And then I want to all of us to set that goal of being committed to the church for which Christ died. That's what we're emphasizing this year, is our being together. We are together. We are one. And as we work together, as we pray together, as we serve together, as we suffer together, all of those ways, I think, help us to be fully committed to the church for which Jesus Christ died. We're going to sing our song of encouragement here in just a moment, and we want to encourage anyone here this morning who is ready to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, to be buried with him in baptism, in order to have his or her sins forgiven. We would hope and pray that you would make that decisive step to step out today in faith and obey what God has instructed us to do in terms of becoming his child. And so if there's anyone here today who needs to make that decision, I pray that you'll come and do that. If you desire the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. So if we can serve you today, would you please come right now as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement.